That's great because we're engaging our audience, which is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we're only going to get two questions. Factor here is audience. We need one.
Please.
Hey, everyone. It's the table side. Fuck me. This is hard.
Wow. We should quit right
Peter,
now.
Peter, do you want his job?
I heard it pays better.
It doesn't pay at all.
We can edit all this shit out, so it's fine.
Yeah, we are. Okay. Let's start this again. Sorry, guys.
No, it's okay.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Tableside Mashed Potatoes podcast, a digital marketing podcast hosted by myself, Derek Ovinga.
Peter Bishop.
Scott Irwin.
And we work for ZGM Modern Marketing Partners, and this is our first podcast.
I think it's worth saying, so two big things happening. One, we all got haircuts for this episode.
Yeah, and we're not recording this visually at all, so...
It's a confidence thing.
Yeah.
That's important.
That's going to come across nicely.
Podcast.
Yeah. And two, Derek and I both broke our dry January as of 5 minutes ago. Just for this podcast as well.
We've lasted 22 days, which is pretty good. I haven't really been craving a drink until today because, I don't know, I'm not going to lie. I'm slightly nervous about this being our first podcast. People are going to listen to it and I don't want to sound like an idiot.
You still think people are going to listen to this, which I think is fine.
Yeah, that part's funny. For the part that I played in twisting your guys' arms to have a drink with me. My apologies.
You know, this is our first podcast, so I thought maybe we should introduce ourselves. My name, Derek Ovinga, content strategist at ZGM. So I work on a whole bunch of things, content marketing and even digital project management for a little while. And now I'm focused on strategy, generating leads, using organic content for our clients, for ourselves. And that's me in a nutshell. How about you, Scott?
Product design director here at ZGM, so which means I oversee our product and UX team. We make websites, apps, and other digital products. That's it.
How about yourself, Peter?
I am one of the partners here as well as a conversion director. So I work with the content team, the data and insights team, and the product team. And back in the day, I was an illustrator. I had no notions of ever doing it for a living, but that's where I started and somehow ended up here through a weird twisting road.
You know, it's kind of interesting because we've been trying to start a podcast for a very long time. We pitch it to other businesses as well as a form of generating leads for their own lead generation strategies. So our topic today is starting podcasts for your business.
Yeah, I like this because it's like we are starting our podcast and we're talking about starting podcasts. It's very Inception.
Yeah, totally.
It's a snake eating its tail.
Yeah. I got one question before we get into these points. Like, how long ago did we decide we're going to do this? Do you guys remember?
I didn't decide. I think I was sort of voluntold.
When I started here almost 4 years ago, and then I met Scott and I sat near him. He talked at length about specific things about product design or even just things in life in general. And he always had interesting insights on it all. He's blushing currently. Scott Irwin. Yeah, that's right.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. And I remember we were walking into work and I was like, hey, Scott, you should like start a podcast or something. You love podcasts. You listen to this podcast and that podcast. And it only took about 3.5 years to finally get him to do it. And I've kind of forced
I'm looking at this like I'm third mic here. You guys, you know, let me know what you want to talk about. I'll chime in.
I was third mic.
No.
So it took 4 years. And I think this is something people would like to know. What A, how come it took so long? And B, what tipped it over the edge? How come we're actually doing this now? Was there something that changed?
I don't know. I think for me, what took so long is I was a little bit nervous about being on a podcast. And it's weird, too, because I don't really like being in front of the camera or being in front of like people. I don't really like public speaking that much. And for some reason, the only way I could start a podcast was if I actually just joined it. Essentially, and just forced it upon other people.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. And then like just picking a date, I think was good. Gave us all something to blow off first and then pick another date.
But we bought all this equipment. We have to do something with it.
That was another driver for me is like you buy stuff. It's that sunken cost thing, yeah. Right? Whereas like, and that gets you doing it. It was like gym memberships. A lot of people will pay money to get to a gym because and the fact that they're paying makes you do it for, well, in theory, right? Yeah.
Well, and just look at these things. Like this looks way more credible than we have any, you know, right to claim, right? Like these look like radio microphones.
Yeah. It's the illusion that we're professional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we've got the pop filters, although my pop filter went limp and it's not working for me now. We've got the arms that we bought. We've got the mixer. We've got the software on the laptop. And we've got two pretty charming guys, I must say.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure Derek's talking about me and Derek.
I'm sure.
Maybe well, I wonder, the three of us could probably talk about why businesses should start a podcast.
Yeah. So I think there's a number of reasons. Everyone knows now, I'm sure it's pretty obvious, video and audio obviously performing really well, especially against like text and whatnot. So, and what's nice about podcasting is passive audio. So you can listen to it while doing other things like commuting and whatnot. Video requires a lot of attention, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas audio is something that you can fit into your day a lot easier, it seems, especially with our kind of day to day. So it's a great medium to use and something that we've known for ages we need to get into. And we talk to clients a lot about it. Just makes sense that we practice what we preach.
I think that's true. It kind of gets to the first point that we had about coming up with a podcast. And it all starts with developing a concept, essentially, and kind of identifying, okay, what are your goals for your podcast? Why do we want to do it? Do we want to become the thought leaders? And you know, it's such a cliche word. Those are two words, I guess. The thought leaders in our industry. And do we want people to know that, hey, we're the experts and you should listen to our podcast? And in turn, hey, if you got any questions, maybe you'll talk to our sales guy and we might get some sales out of this.
It's brand building. It's lead gen. If you know how to convert on leads, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, down the road. But also, again, it's just something you kind of you want to try out and do because it keeps life interesting, right? We do a lot of the things that we do are the same every day. It's nice to introduce new things to try out, right? Like we don't know where this to go. We might do 300 episodes or we might do two.
And it's yeah. And it's a great thing for being able to diversify your content offerings to your audience or whatever is never a bad idea. Some of the things that you need to think about when you're coming up with that concept is that you need to evaluate the market. So you need to figure out, okay, how many people are doing a podcast in the realm that I'm doing a podcast. So we did a trial podcast and we were trying to come up with a name. And one of the names, you're like, ooh, that's a great name, but there's probably a million podcasts called that. And yes, there were about a million digital marketing podcasts and they covered pretty much everything that we wanted to cover. So we had to kind of pivot another marketing keyword.
Are you stuffing right now?
I am.
Keyword stuffing.
Hey, you know what? If we transcribe this podcast, you know what that does? If we put that on our website,
essentially you have copy sitting out there, keyword rich, is ready to be like crawled indefinitely by, you know, SEO and Google crawlers and all that good stuff. So feels like a good move.
And then another thing is thinking about what your audience wants to listen to. So you need to look up, okay, what are some of the questions that they might have? And you might find out, okay, what are people searching for online?
I don't think you can put enough value on that test run, right? Because that helped, I think, in a ton. It's like a throwaway episode. And I would recommend that to anyone. Like, don't go in your first episode thinking you're gonna, that's it. You just do a throwaway one where everyone gets used to the mic, you get used to the banter, and you get used to seeing what the cadence is and all that. I thought it was super valuable. Like, I would, everyone that's doing it, I would recommend it.
Are you talking about this one?
No. We laugh.
Yeah. So we did one where we tried to come up with our name, which is actually part of the concepting part of coming up with a podcast is coming up with a name. And we came up with the name Tableside Mashed Potatoes. And that name beat out a whole bunch of names that we crowdsourced within the agency. Do you want to explain why we're calling it Tableside Mashed Potatoes? Because I still hate the name.
You know what I like about it is right in the name is a marketing idea.
So the name came from me one time at lunch thinking about business ideas to supplement my income. And I thought, hey, you know how some restaurants have tableside guacamole? Well, why don't they have tableside mashed potatoes? You know,
I think there's many reasons, but let's keep going.
Yeah. So you order tableside mashed potatoes. The waiter comes with like a bucket of potatoes.
Already cooked at this point. Yeah.
Yeah. Already cooked. Of course. Yeah. They have the masher. They've got the milk, or if you're vegan, they've got the oat milk. And then they just start mashing the potatoes tableside. You know, you've got chives, you've got bacon bits, you've got,
Would it be like Tubby Dog, where you'd have unusual things that you wouldn't typically put on mashed potatoes, like
Lucky Charms,
baby carrots, or yeah, like shrimps?
Actually, baby carrots. I grew up eating baby carrots with my mashed potatoes.
Yeah,
it was weird. Yeah, my dad loved that. Yeah,
pistachio shells.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Here's my only thing with this.
You just got one thing.
It doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's like, so I you're a separate company and the restaurant employs you to come in and mash the potatoes tableside.
Essentially, it's a potato pop-up. So, yeah, I'd go to these companies and say, hey, I've got this great idea.
You have an idea.
Yeah. All right, this is like a prototype.
And I'd say, hey, I don't know, for every order of these mashed potatoes, maybe I'll collect like 0.5%.
Is there something about this experience that you get outside of just having it brought immediately to your table warm? And it's not even a luxury item. You've taken a subsistence crop.
It's the story. It's in Ireland. Uh-huh. They had like the famine, the potato famine.
Yeah.
Where they were starving and then potatoes essentially save the population.
Yeah, right? Sure. So if this was 1940 and you were like, hey, people can eat more than potatoes now, I got to get rid of these thousands of potatoes I have. Brilliant idea.
Every potato has a story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The part of the experience is you're telling the story of each potato that went into their tableside mashed potato.
Can you opt out of this service? You know me. I'm a yes and guy, but I just can't get there. And I'm trying to be, you know, as Kevin O'Leary as I can in the scenario here to just, you know, give you some perspective.
You probably need to experience it. Like, there's no way you can just say outright that this isn't for you until you've actually tried it. It's like Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
If it's not for you, it's not for you.
Well, let's really do this then. Every time we have a guest on the podcast, you're serving up mashed potatoes, making it right in front of them.
Yeah. That's a lot of work. Like, I got a bunch of buttons to push here on the computer. And I might have to scale up in my staff from one to two.
Well, I'm glad we beat that to death. Yeah.
Some other things to think about when you're thinking about a name is, you know, you want to use keywords in a name so it's searchable. Stuff it with some sort of keyword. So tableside mashed potatoes. A digital marketing podcast.
Such a non sequitur.
You kind of have to. Otherwise, like, we're going to end up on cooking channels.
Yeah.
Well, and I think everything's going towards natural language. So it's one of those things where, like, yeah, put in your keywords, but also don't do it to the point where you sound like a robot and you're just like, it's obvious. Like, Google, especially with their latest algorithms, they're just pointing more and more towards, hey, just speak like a human. Mm-hmm. Get your point across. If you're in the industry, you're naturally going to use industry terms. So just try and do that as much as you can. I'm sure Apple and every other search engine's following suit. So,
yeah.
So format. How do you decide on a format?
I guess, so this is interesting because there's pros and cons to all different types of formats. So, you know, the interview format, if it's just one person and a guest, you might have to plan your podcast way, way ahead of time in advance. Or maybe it's just one person talking on the mic, which is, you know, a lot of talking and might be very difficult for the host, unless it's completely scripted, which might come out a little dry. Or something like us where it's just, you know, it's an unscripted conversation. We've got our points we want to hit. We're going to banter a little bit because the three of us are friends and that's what we do.
It has to be fun. I believe that. It's just like if you're just doing it because you feel you have to, then it's just never going to be sustainable. So
I think there are so many good, well, good asterisk industry podcasts that have great content, but it is really dry. It's like they're reading a sheet. that's what I think we're hoping to avoid in a formulaic sort of way, like with this podcast.
As I put my sheet down.
It's a little organic. You can have the liner notes.
Fuck, Derek, so dry.
It's hard producing a show, man. I got to keep all the notes down here.
Yeah, well, someone has to, like, do the work, right? Yeah. Like, Scott and I are literally riding the coattails here. Yeah.
You're working the board.
I'm play-by-play. You guys are color commentary.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, we're both third mic.
So I think I don't know where the percentage splits, but I think you need a certain amount of, you know, good content that's going to resonate with your audience, but you need some level of, you know, affability and chemistry and organic flow of conversation. Maybe it's funny. In our case, it probably isn't, but you need something that is going to keep it going beyond just delivering facts.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, think about the length. Length is important. The podcast platform can be listened to maybe as you're driving to work or walking to work or walking your dog or at the gym. It's just something in the background that you're listening to and you're going to get some good insight from it. So we've discussed that our length is going to be around the 20-minute mark.
Mm-hmm. So out of 2.5 hours of conversation, we're going to try to come up with 20 minutes of valuable audio content.
Yeah.
And then deciding on, somebody needs to be in charge of the actual agenda of the podcast and, you know, how the podcast is going to flow. So the intro, is it going to be 15 seconds long? Is there going to be some banter? Is there going to be some sponsors that we have to hit?
We don't have that problem yet.
No. Yeah, not yet. Anyway, our clients somewhat sponsor it.
No, I don't think so.
No?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is unpaid? Oh, darn. Somebody needs to, like, actually lead the conversation. So if we're starting to go way off the handle here, we'll need to steer the car back onto the road here. Like, we've kind of identified that, let's say, I'm the person that sets everything up. And then you guys provide all the good insight.
Color commentary.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good point, though. You do need structure, no matter how easy it is to chat, because when we go out, it's easy enough to go through stuff. But, like, with no structure, man, we go off on tangents forever, probably already experienced.
We literally talked about the business of tableside mashed potatoes for 10 minutes, and you've probably only heard 40 seconds of it. Lucky you.
Tell us about the podcast gear. What do you need?
It's funny, with our podcast, the podcast gear was kind of like the catalyst to say, okay, now it's time to start this, because we've spent money on, you know, the mixer, the microphone, the microphone stand, which is like an arm that we've attached to our desks, or in Scott's case, he's attached it to the coffee table in what we call the lounge.
That critical equipment.
Yeah.
Like, without the arm, you're literally crouched over your microphone.
And then, of course, the software. So you're going to need a little bit of knowledge in terms of the software. But they're like, what I use is Adobe Audition, which is free with the Adobe Creative Cloud. But there's other software out there that you can get for free, or you can spend money on it. On other pieces of software. So if you have a Mac, you can just use GarageBand, which is totally fine.
I mean, really, if you're just, like, you know, somebody who's young and starting out, you can just get a little mic that plugs right into your phone and do it, right? Like,
totally.
You don't need to, like, spend thousands of dollars right up front to know whether this is going to work, you're going to enjoy doing it or not.
This gear, like, that we got didn't cost much. Like, you're talking about a couple $100. It's not thousands, right? Like,
no.
You can get mics for next to nothing now, right? So it used to be back in the day, it would be like $200 mics, but nothing like that.
It looks way more impressive than the actual dollar value 100%. Would suggest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, some people will spend $300 on a microphone because of the quality, but I don't know if, like, the regular person listening to the podcast will notice.
It's like, especially for a talk, who cares? Like, you just need something that's not got a ton of noise in it and picks up relatively good sound, right?
It's kind of like pizza. Even bad pizza is still good.
Yeah.
So as long as it's audible or consumable,
let's put this out there, and let me tell you if you guys agree, but, like, just anything's going to be better than trying to use your laptop mic right out of the box.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Right? Because I just think... it's just going to instantly put you down in quality, which is always, you know, your production value goes down, and then therefore you sound like you're coming out of someone's basement.
The value of what you have to say will be degraded,
right,
in the minds of the listener.
The only thing I would recommend is making sure that you find a good room, so there's not a lot of noise bleed, as they say.
Smaller rooms, like soft furniture, will absorb like echoes and stuff. You don't want a big, loud, reverby type room with just hard surfaces everywhere.
Yeah, carpeted floors and low ceilings will definitely help for sure.
Well, you're not using GarageBand though. You're using the Adobe Suite, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. How's that?
I think it's great.
It's perfect. But GarageBand, or there's a free PC program called Audacity. Right. I'll put the link in the Apple description for our listeners out there if they're interested in starting a podcast. It's completely free. So there's a lot of software you can get for free.
Editing. Why is that so hard?
So, yeah.
Because we make it that way.
Yeah, it's not that hard. But you do have to have a little bit of editing knowledge, and you can learn it easily through, I don't know, YouTube videos or whatever. You might not want to edit like the ums and ahs and all that stuff, but editing some mistakes you may have made in the podcast, long pauses, or the banter has just gone too far and now we're trying to bring us back into the topic at hand here.
I don't know what you're talking about. You know what I do find is that audio is a lot more forgiving than video editing, because, you know, with video, you're going to notice this obvious break in the visuals, but with audio, you have no idea, really. So as long as there's a pause, you can edit between those things, right?
Did you do that for a fact?
Did you see what I did?
Yeah, I did. You know what? We're going to shorten that by a microsecond, and no one will ever know.
Yeah. They'll be like, why is he laughing? That makes no sense.
And then the deployment of your podcast or publishing your podcast, you need to find a pretty good host. So we use Buzzsprout, which is awesome because they have an RSS feed built right into it. And then you can publish it directly to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify.
Buzzsprout also has transcribing, does it not?
Totally. Yeah. And it's like, what, $12 a month?
You know what I like about that is trying to find words that can sound like other words if you say them really quickly, and then trying to look for all those words in the transcript. I was just doing a user test and they were doing the same thing, and it transcribes the user's like voice. And there's just the weirdest like word that they could have assumed that was, because it's all AI driven, right? So it's like an AI going through and being like, oh, this is what I think they said. And it's like the most obscure word ever. But what the user actually said was like three words that when they said it quickly sort of sounded like this thing. I don't have an example. That's I can't think of it right now.
But. Stupid machines.
Yeah, the dumb robots.
Actually, that's a great segue because our next episode is going to be on usability.
It is?
I'm just revealing that right now. So it's all up to you, Scott. Whoa. Usability websites. Yeah.
Yeah. No pressure, but you got to knock it out of the park because we bailed on this one.
No, this is good. I learned a lot about podcasting.
Yeah, this is good. You know what? I like living it. So we've gone through the whole process to get to episode one, which has literally taken, what, a year or more. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to share like the process, what it took to get here.
And now we're one of those agencies who's launched a podcast.
Yeah. Cautionary tale.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Peace. You've been